coming on May 22nd is the next edition of our roundtable. Women's group will meet on Monday, May 22nd. On May 24th is our Mosaic and Missions Recognition Service. And then there's an announcement there about our English as a Second Language Award and Citizenship Achievement Ceremony, which will be here on Tuesday, May the 23rd. So we'd love to have you come participate in any of those events that are going on in the life of our church. I also want to just, Pastor Eric may mention this later, but I just want to say a special welcome to our men visiting today from Victory Home. We are so glad you're here with us today and hope this service will be an encouragement to you and to all of us. Thank you so much. Look forward to what God's going to do in our lives in the next hour here. God bless.
Pray with me as we begin our worship today. And now, O Lord, we come recognizing and praising you in this hour of worship, that you are our Father, you are the Son, and you are the Holy Spirit. And in this Trinity, you come together in your own community, guiding and directing our lives and impacting this world. Lord, we recognize that we also, you have placed us also in our own communities, our families, our work, our neighborhoods, our city, our church, our community. Today, O Lord, we come recognizing that we are not alone. We are part of a great bond of faith, a great circle of witnesses that are both before and after us. We pray that you will help us, O Lord, to find our place in our own families, in our own communities, that you will strengthen us, strengthen our bonds, strengthen our relationships, so that we, O Lord, may be your witnesses in this place, in this community, and in this world. We pray these things now in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Come, thou fount of every blessing, tune my heart to sing thy grace. Beautiful hymn, although I want you to watch carefully on the screen. We have a few new words, a few words that are a little different than the familiar words in our hymnal. So let's stand together as we sing our opening hymn of praise, Come, thou fount.
Come, thou fount of every blessing, tune my heart to sing thy grace. Streams of mercy never ceasing, call for songs of loudest praise. Teach me some melodious chorus, sung by flaming tongues above. Praise the upon it, mount of thy redeeming love. Here I raise my Ebenezer, by thy help I've overcome, and I hope by thy good pleasure, safely I'll arrive at home. Jesus sought me from the throne of God, he to rescue me from danger shed for me his precious blood. Oh, to grace how great a debtor daily I'm constrained to be. Let thy grace, Lord, let it ever my wandering heart to thee. Prone to wander, Lord, I feel it. Prone to leave the God I love. Use my heart, Lord, take and seal it. Seal it for thy courts above. Use my heart, Lord, take and seal it. For thy courts above.
Say welcome to all. We're glad you are here. If you're a guest with us, you'll find some guest cards in the pew racks. We'd love to find out that you are here. We're especially grateful to have the men from the Victory Home here today. They've had breakfast with us today and have been a part of our Sunday school. And we're just glad that you guys are here, and we continue to pray for your recovery and that. And for your families and all the people you represent today. So thank you for being here. I'm going to let Bobby and our praise group to lead us now in our fellowship chorus.
We are standing on holy ground. Let's sing this chorus together before we greet each other this morning.
We are standing. Let us pray.
Let's turn and greet each other this morning and pass the peace of Christ. Is anybody who wants to speak to Let's come together and sing that chorus one more time.
Invite all the boys and girls to come join me for our children's sermon. It's so good to see you guys. I got more folks to come on down. Collier, could you bring Coco with you? Can you bring Cohen with you? Come on, Cohen. Hey, Cohen, this way. Come on. So this is our first Sunday family worship. We have all of our boys and girls around us today. And guys, I need y'all here today because I got to tell y'all a secret, okay? If I tell y'all a secret, will y'all not tell anybody? Okay? Lexi, will you tell anybody if I tell you a secret? Okay, keep a secret. Here's the secret. You guys are special. All the boys and girls here, there are no other boys and girls like you anywhere. And you guys are of all been given in special families. And all of you are God has given you all as a gift to the world. And there's no one else like you anywhere else before or after. What? A puzzle? You've already built it? Oh, man.
I can build it all by myself.
You can build it all? No doubt. So here's what I need you guys to help me out. I'm going to teach all these adults a little bit about what makes families special. Now, you guys have all been given a special gift to your family, and I want you all to help me teach these guys
by coming up with the list of what makes your family special. And so maybe it's something that you and your family do, or maybe it's something that y'all say to one another, or maybe it's some special thing. Can y'all tell me some things that make your family special? What makes your family special, Finn? Anything that makes... I'm going to write it down on this whiteboard, and we're going to use it. What's something that makes your family special? Huh? The love thing? The loving makes your family special. Yes, very loving. Not the love thing. That was my part. Yeah, that's because I have bad ears. What makes your family special, Natalie? Everything makes your family special. Okay. Yes, Katie, what's something that makes your family special? Your family is so special because you're in that family. Now, what? Now, is there anything your families do that no one else's families do? What? What's something your family does that's really special to your family? Tuck you in. Oh, that's a really special thing. All right, I see. Yes, William. You went to Montana to see your uncle. Oh, my goodness. And you saw lots of big mountains, I bet. Oh, that's so cool. All right, Finn, what's something that makes your family...
I went to mountains.
Mountains, okay.
We live on a hill.
You live on a hill. We got to live on a hill. I love that. Yeah. All right. I see, Finn, you were going to say something. Anything else that your family does makes you special? Think about it. Well, listen here, guys. The Bible says this about what makes... Let me just read a verse from the scriptures for you about y'all. It says, I praise you, Lord, because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. I know that full well. You guys, there is nothing like y'all. God has created you and gifted you and put you in a very special family. Now, all of our families are different and unique, but you are God's gift to the world. And I want y'all today, as you go to your classes, to realize how special you are. When you go home, I want you to tell your moms and dads and tell your family, the people that you're with, say, you're special, and I'm thankful for you. Can y'all do that? Okay. Very good. Let me offer a word of prayer, and then we're going to send us to our classes, okay? Let's pray together. Thank you, dear Lord, for loving us, for creating us, and making us special, and our families too. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. All right. Now it's time for y'all to... Yes. Now it's time to go.
There. Thank you, boys and girls. You are special. We'll continue with our worship as we stand together and sing our offertory praise before the throne of God above. You'll find the words in your bulletin and on the screen. Let's stand together as we sing.
Those girls are special. Those girls are special. Because they have you as a grandmother.
Before the throne of God above, I have a strong and perfect plea, a great high priest whose name is love, whoever lives and pleads for me. My name is graven on his hands, my name is written on his heart. I know that while in heaven he stands, no tongue can bid me thence depart. Satan tempts me to despair and tells me of the guilt within. Upward I look and see him there, who made an end to all my sin. Because of sin. Savior died. My sinful soul is counted free, for God the just is satisfied to look on him and pardon me, to look on him and pardon me. Before the fair, the risen Lamb, my perfect spotless righteousness, the great unchanged. My Savior and my God, one with Himself I cannot die. My soul is purchased with His blood. My life is hid with Christ on high. With Christ my Savior and my God, with Christ my Savior and my God.
Well, I'm not Lena for sure. She's homesick, so you get me. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord, for this time. I thank you, Lord, for your many, many blessings. And I thank you, Lord, that you give us an opportunity to give back what you have given to us. I ask you, Lord, that you would bless this, bless our offerings and our tithes to your holy name, Jesus, and all the things that you do. In Jesus' name, amen.
Please sing along with us. There's a Redeemer. Thank you.
You all. It is good to be in the house of the Lord today. We're grateful for all of you to be here today. We are grateful for our men and the families from the Victory Home. Thank you all again for being here. During the months of May and June, we've entered into a new season of worship at First Baptist. We started last week, actually, the end of April. We call it the Season of the Family. And this season is full of a variety of milestones and events, which we celebrate for and with the members of our family and the members of our church. We have Mother's Day next week, don't forget. Father's Day in June, there's a variety of graduations taking place. A lot of college graduations happened yesterday, and then there's high school graduations, preschool graduations, elementary school graduations. Last week we celebrated Youth Sunday, and 1st of June we'll celebrate a Grandparents' Day. It's a good day. It's a good season for celebrating families. And so I wanted today, as we begin this season, to spend some time focusing on how we make our families stronger. Not just our nuclear family, but our larger family, as grandparents, as parents, as children. And here's our guiding question for today. Is your family operating at its absolute best? You might be wondering, well, how would I know? I mean, I think we're doing pretty good. We all still are together. We're all still hang out with one another. And so what I've done is try to create a barometer of the top five traits of healthy families. The top five things that if you're doing these things, your family's going to have some good health about them. And so I want to invite today both all of the members of your family who are here today to kind of work through this list with me. And as I describe the trait and we talk a little bit about it, for each one of you to think about that trait on a continuum, on from a zero mean utterly unhealthy, we're terrible at this, to 10 being we are the absolutely most healthy family when it comes to this trait. And kind of score yourself a little bit. And as we do, we'll come back in the end and say, what do we do with this as families and as individuals? The first trait I want to talk about today is the trait of irrational love. In a healthy family, love is spread lavishly to each and every member of the family, regardless of his or her age, sex, gender, competencies, attractiveness, or performance capabilities. A psychiatrist who talks about this trait calls this irrational love. The Apostle Paul calls this agape, sacrificial love, and describes it in 1 Corinthians 13 as this type of love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. One of our classes, and maybe on Sunday morning, maybe some of you have read the book as well, author by the name of Francis Chan, he calls this crazy love, irrational love, agape love. Irrational love is when your parents saw that little red wrinkled body on that first day in the hospital and they thought, I am going to pour more love into that little life than my heart will ever be able to hold. Irrational love flows throughout a child's life, so much so that when she's 1,000 miles away, sitting in her college dorm room, drifting off to sleep, she thinks, I can't believe to this day how loved I am in my family. Loving words were spoken to me each and every day.
I felt loving embraces every night. We had loving conversations. There were loving boundaries and loving discipline. There was support through my piano lessons and my soccer games and my choir concerts. And they helped me with laundry and food and birthday parties. And she thinks about how she has been irrationally loved from the day that she was born. Her heart grows warmer, her self-esteem gets higher, and her thankfulness to God grows deeper. And as she drifts off to sleep, she has this feeling that even though she's 1,000 miles away from the people that she loves, she knows that nothing will ever break that love. This is the love that flows from generation to generation because of irrational love. Now, some of us came out of families where we were not irrationally loved. And I know that. We don't remember any physical affection at our home. We can't remember our dad ever telling us, "Son, I love you." Since irrational love didn't come our way, we sort of think, well, why should I pay it forward? I didn't get it. Why shouldn't I just pay whatever I got forward? But maybe today God might be whispering to you some special words. That just because you didn't get it doesn't mean that you can't give it. Irrational love doesn't come from a father on the ground. It comes from a father above. Having never received physical love, it will feel kind of clumsy trying to express your love, especially verbally, to your children or your grandchildren. And it might be hard getting the words out, "I love you." But just because they're clumsy and just because they're hard doesn't mean they're not good. So don't give up. With God's help, we can all get there. Every dad here can get there. Every mom here can get there. Every grandparent can get there. There is no excuse for not passing on to our children an irrational love that comes from the Father above. An irrational love that is expressed physically and verbally. So, on the back of your orders of worship, I've given you a little continuum. A way for you to think about where you are on each one of these different traits. How are you doing with the irrational amounts of love expressed and felt? Does everyone in your family experience this type of love? Mark something down. See where you are. Be honest with yourself and each other. The second trait is this. A healthy family communicates openly with truth and grace. The book of James says this: "You must understand this, my beloved. Let everyone be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to anger." What sets the tone for strong communication in a family? I'll tell you. It's the relationship between the mom and the dad. If a mom and dad can speak openly and vulnerably to one another, if mom and dad can listen to one another without screaming, without slamming doors, without sulking and sobbing, if mom and dad can resolve disputes without drawing blood, there's a high likelihood that the kids are going to watch this and catch it, and good communication is going to happen. Issues can be talked about and resolution can be reached. If any of you have ever gone to marriage counseling with me, you've heard me preach the importance of communication, of learning the skills of communicating with one another, especially while you still are, you know, happy and giddy in love with one another. And this is the reason why. Because a husband and wife can choose to be good communicators with one another, it not just creates a good marriage, it makes for a healthy family. Now, when I was in college, I learned a lot about communication. And when Marcia and I started dating, I brought that into our new dating relationship. And I loved her so much from the very start
I didn't want anything to go wrong. And so I was working hard, overtime, on making sure I didn't mess up in my communication. And so I'd practice all these communication skills, and she'd get in the car, my little Honda Civic, and we'd get ready to go out to eat, and I'd say, "Where do you want to go?" And she would go, "I don't know, you choose." And I'd go, "What I hear you saying is you don't really have a choice. I really have an idea of what you want to eat tonight. Is that right?" And she'd go, "Just be quiet and choose something." Finally, she would say, "Can you over-communicate?" Well, maybe sometimes. Because when we over-communicate, what we're doing is we're really beginning the process of working hard at making sure that person knows that we care about them. Our kids, we're experiencing the same thing when we begin to focus on communication at home. See, open communication in a home leads to amazing things in a family. But parents have to be proactive about it. You have to actually think, when are our windows of opportunity with enough time to provide quality time for us to communicate? Grandparents, same thing. What that means today is that there are so many ways of communicating, you have to be open to all of them. You have to be willing that when people show up at a table to eat together, let's put away our phones and let's talk about what's going on. Let's ask each other questions about our day. But you also have to be willing to say, you know, my kids and grandkids like to text. That's how they communicate. Well, I've got to be willing to text with them as well. And sometimes they'll tell you more through a text than they might be willing to tell you at the table. Important to ask open-ended questions. When the kids get into the car, don't just say, "How was your day?" "Fine." Say, "Tell me about your English class today. What did the teacher talk about today? Tell me about lunch. What was going on at lunch today? Who did you sit with? What was going on? Did you laugh at anything?" Be playful with it. So many of us have iPhones today and FaceTime and, you know, even if you're in the same house, just FaceTime with one another from one room to the next. You maybe already do that to call your husband to come down and pick something up. But have fun with it and realize that it doesn't, just because there are different ways of communicating today doesn't mean that they're all bad. Use them for the purposes that draw families together. One of my favorite experiences I had with our girls growing up is I would pick them up in elementary school on Friday afternoons. They were young, and I would pick them up and would go by Dairy Queen, and every Friday would have blizzards, and we'd just sit down together and we'd talk, and then we would go from there to the local playground, and I would just let them run around and talk. And those moments of just allowing them to just be themselves and talk about whatever they wanted to talk about were some of the most meaningful times of me watching them grow up. They're all, you know, teenagers and 20 now, Sarah. But those moments still, to me, are the places where we were able to connect. To grandparents, parents, what is your time? Do you have enough open communication with your family? Do you rank high on communication or low? Are you thinking, well, you know, we run pretty fast. We don't get around to talk around that much. Be open and honest with yourself today and see where God might be able to help. A third trait is this: common faith. In a healthy family, faith lived together is passed down from generation to generation by word, action, and tradition. The scriptures tell us about the power of being equally yoked in marriage and working together as families to pass on our faith. As the Israelites were working their way and God was forming them into this people in the desert, he gave them this Shema, the love the Lord, hear, O Israel, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all of your heart, soul, mind, and strength. And then the Lord says this: keep these words that I am commanding you today in your heart. Recite them to your children and talk about them when you are at home and when you are away and when you lie down and when you rise up. I mean, even secular research today tells us the importance of common faith. It says that healthy families share a common spiritual belief.
And the Bible teaches this from cover to cover, that what parents need to do is to walk with God and to impress upon their children so that their whole family is operating off the same spiritual page. Common faith starts with our own faith journey and living that out faithfully and authentically in our families. Common faith and the role of parents and grandparents as the spiritual leaders of their home sits at the very center of what we do in our own children's ministry here at our church. That's why we have what we have today is family worship, First Sunday family worship. All of our preschoolers, all of our elementary school, our middle school, our high schoolers, all of our parents, it's a little bit messy. But what it says to all of us is that we are all active roles, have active roles in passing down this faith from one generation to the next. And parents, that generation, that power is upon you and upon the grandparents and their kids' lives. Here's the reason why. Each child has 8,700 hours in every year. Of those hours, parents, you have 3,000 hours that you are available to be with them, to influence them, to invest in them. You want to know how much we have at church? If we're lucky, we have 50 hours a year that you come and bring your kids here, and we have a chance to work with them and to teach them Bible verses and spiritual lessons. Our role as a church is to empower and equip our families, our children, our parents, and our grandparents, and how you can be the spiritual leaders in your home. Because you are going to be the influencers of your family. You are going to be the ones who are going to pass down the faith from one to another. You are going to be the ones, and your voice is going to be in their head when they get in those situations and they go, "What do I do with this? How do I make sense of this?" They're going to see your faith. And they're going to understand how it works. So let me invite every parent, grandparent, adult here for all of us to get on the same spiritual page. To see the spiritual role we have in our children and our own influence as well as those here in our church. And when you're on the same spiritual page, the love of God fills the hearts of everyone in the house. The wisdom of God guides everyone in the family. And the joy of the Lord raises the joy level of the whole family. And the strength of the family is increased because God's activity is in that family. Being on the same spiritual page contributes to really healthy families. Where are you? Are all of you on the same spiritual page? Fourth, a healthy family teaches respect to other people. Even people who were different from them. Paul teaches us this power in this lesson in Galatians. There is neither Jew nor Greek, neither slave nor free. There is neither male nor female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. Researchers today tell us that racism and disrespect of others is a learned behavior. Racism is not an infection that you catch when you are out traveling somewhere. It is a learned behavior, and the learning happens mostly in the family settings. It gets reinforced in other areas of society, but the learnings begin at home. There are certain values that we as family members, as Christians, as Christian parents, need to underline and commit to getting right. And seeing each person and their culture of origin as a gift from God to the world is one of them. Mom and dad, grandparents, uncles, aunts. It's just not right or good to ever tell a racist joke. Don't tell a joke about someone's ethnicity because the kids will pick it up. They'll think it's okay to do. But it's not okay in a Christ-centered family. It's not okay, and if you ever catch yourself doing it, stop yourself and apologize to the kids around you. Tell them, "I'm not the dad that I want to be. That was out of line, because not who we are as followers of Jesus." You've never looked into the eyes of someone on this earth
who does not matter to God. Everyone, every person of every color, accent, or ethnicity, and anyone who looks even remotely a little different than you, whether they're physically challenged or mentally challenged, they are someone for whom Christ shed his blood in the same way that he shed it for us. Each person is one prayer away from being your eternal brother or sister. This is what we must teach our families, our children, from generation to generation. This is the kind of respect that Christ demands of us. And after the bruising political season we've all been in, maybe just one more piece of respect we should talk about. We need to be respectful of people who vote differently than we do. We've all seen Christians who obey the scriptures and talk respectably about other people as a whole, but when it comes to the domain of politics, it seems like we have the ability to throw the rules away. We can say horrendous things. We can gossip. We think it's fair play because it's all about politics, but it's not. It's not fair play. These are people. I'm sure we've even heard Christians criticizing other faiths, Muslims or Hindus or Jehovah's Witnesses or so forth. Friends, when Christ calls us to respect everyone, it's everyone. They can disagree with us. They can be completely different from us. But he calls us to be respectful as individuals. And this is what we build into our families, for healthy families. Finally, healthy families also have a trait of balancing responsibility and play. Healthy families instill both a sense of responsibility in each other, and they also play together. Paul says this in Galatians, each of you must take responsibility for doing your creative best that you can with your own life. There's two parts of this balance, and both are important, responsibility and play. We often think, well, I got to be responsible, or I got to play, but it comes at the balancing both. See, first we must teach our kids to take responsibility and to give them the consequences when they don't. When we send them out to the real world, they have to be responsible. If you prepare them well, they will soar. If we don't, they're going to be in trouble. And there are lots of ways to build responsibilities in our children. How are you doing with this part of the balance? Is everyone in your family learning the sense of responsibility? Responsibility with their time, responsibility with their money, responsibility of work, responsibility of each other? Or are you letting each other off the hook? It's okay. You can get it next time. You got to teach and enforce responsibility. But at the same time, healthy families play together. Family research stresses the importance of play in high-functioning families. Do you have fun family stories that you share with other people? When you talk to families about when they are at their best, you often see that's when they play together. When they find and figure out that one unifying recreation, that activity that they all can buy into, it becomes a shared family experience. For some, it's cheering on the family's favorite college football team. For others, it's game night. For others, it could be hiking. For others, it could be gardening. What it is, that's not the point. But it's that everyone in the family says, we look forward to this thing that we do together, this recreation that we all love. I can tell you, when Marcia, Sarah, and Sydney and I are snow skiing together, my life satisfaction level is at flood level. I learned to snow ski in college. Marcia learned when we first got married. We made the effort to teach our girls when they were really small. My favorite family memories is teaching our girls when they were about 3 or 4 years old with a hula hoop skiing down the mountain. Today, Sydney outskis me, and it's the best time ever. Family skiing for us is what brought us together. What about you? How does your family play together? Where do you laugh and play? Responsibility and play are both vital to healthy families, so make sure you're balancing them in your life. 5
basic traits of healthy families. Where do you land? Where are you strong on your family health barometer? Where are you weak? I'd like to invite you today, when you gather with your family, maybe they're here, maybe you're gathered together at home or at lunch, or maybe you gather together or you talk to each other on the phone. Spend time talking together about this barometer. Where does each member of your family see its strengths and weaknesses, and what does that say? Make an effort to soar with your strengths and see how they can make your family stronger. If you found the thing that you play well together, how can you do that more often? At the same time, look and see where you're weak and make a decision to try one new thing this week or this coming month that might help you find a way to grow in that. Working together as parents, as families, as children, as church, and as pastor, we can grow more healthy families. And when more healthy families are a part of this congregation, we have greater impact on our extended families, on our local community, and in all the other places in which we have our own impact and influence. This is the challenge for each one of us. It's a challenge that we all face each and every day. Will you pray with me? So today, oh Lord, I do pray for our families. It is not easy. So many times we are torn by a variety of circumstances, a variety of things that call our attention and call our time. So Lord, today I pray for our families that you will help us to be the spiritual leaders of our children. I pray, oh Lord, that you will be with our church as we make the efforts to train and equip our parents and grandparents and church members to be influencers of each generation. I pray, oh Lord, that we will, as we grow stronger as families, we will grow stronger in our faith and we will follow you. I pray these things now in Jesus' name. Amen. This morning I want to give us a chance to respond to God's leading. Maybe today you and your family need to make a commitment in a new way. To new healthy practices. Maybe you as a parent have been convicted of something. You want to confess that to God. Maybe today God is calling you to accept Christ in your life and say, this is the kind of family I need. I can't happen without Jesus at the center of my life. However today God is leading you, I'll be down front. If you need me to pray together or come to the altar, feel free. But I'll be down here as we sing.
I have decided to follow Jesus. Let's stand together as we sing. I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided follow Jesus, no turning back, no turning back. Though none go with me, I still will follow. Though none go with me, I still will follow. I still will follow, no turning back, no turning back. My cross I'll carry till I see Jesus. My cross I'll carry till I see Jesus. My cross I'll carry till I see Jesus, no turning back, no turning back.
Today, as we go to be God's people, loving the world as God loves us, I'll remind us of the power of mission in each one of our families. The role you play and the people who are closest to you is so vital. It is a part of God's calling in your life. And I pray that today, as you are sent out into the world, that you will see that as a mission field, and that God will use you as an agent of God's kingdom. Will you pray with me? And now, O Lord, as we go, may we be strengthened in our families, strengthened in our faith, and sent out to be the moms and dads and grandparents that you have called us to be. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Christ we proclaim, the name above every name, for all creation, every nation, God's salvation through the Son.